I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we kick off the first full week of the Top Flight winter break. Is this the week the transfer carousel picks up pace, with the likes of Gustav Lagerbielka being linked with a move away? It's unlikely a day will go past this month without someone mentioning the likes of Lauren Shankland in one way or another. And it was a big weekend in the lower leagues, with huge wins for Morton and Partick Thistle as Falkirk's unbeaten run continues. I am Gordon Duncan and you are joined tonight by Kenny Miller and Roger Hahn.
Well, we're just 1 week into the winter break. We're just 1 week into the January transfer window. As well, as you say, Gustav Lagerbielka could be headed from the Old Firm to Serie A. He could be joined by Ridvan Yilmaz. But who will be coming in to Celtic and Rangers this month? It was an odd weekend, as you say. The SPFL Championship and the FA Cup third round sort of dominating the agenda for once, Gordon. And it's not finished, because tonight we've got Kenny's old teammate, Sean Maloney, a man who's won the FA Cup with Wigan Athletic, and he could add to Eric Ten Hag's woes.
Well, listen, that would be a massive shock. Not as big a shock as the Scotland legends winning against Queen of the South yesterday.
Do you know what? I had you down for at least 3 minutes into the show before
well, listen,
I brought it up.
It's the introduction, isn't it? We've got to get it out there. Brilliant day at Stephen Dobie's testimonial. I came away with a match ball.
Listen, we've not even got to. We were about to do result of the weekend, goal of the weekend, and top performer of the weekend.
Shameless.
He's gone in even before that.
Shameless.
That's the intro of the show, isn't it? We've got to let the listeners know what's actually went on at the weekend. So again,
although to be fair to you, Kenny, it's very unusual for a Super Scoreboard pundit to celebrate a win at Palmerston, particularly this season.
That is true.
Yeah. Anyway, that's law, actually, Roger. That's law.
He'll not be listening.
He will be. 0141 951 1025. If we're talking about today's sort of news or headlines or transfer speculation, then what about two defenders? Possibly, probably, you can decide on their way out. Celtic fans, would you let Gustav Lagerbielka go? Is it the right decision? Does he deserve more of a chance? And I guess the same question to you Rangers fans about Ridvan Yilmaz, because he's just come into the team. We were having calls last week saying maybe he's the number one left back going forward. Now rumour mill suggesting he could be on the way. So it's the same question, it's the same logic there. Would you let him go? Does he deserve more of a chance? Like I said, I'm going to place a small wager in my own head that we discuss Lauren Shankland every day during the January window. So if you have any updated thoughts on that, or Scott McKenna, or any of the other names that have been doing the rounds, let's get stuck straight in. I mean, you might remember this time last week we were sort of embroiled in a very small misunderstanding that took place in the Celtic Rangers game. So we've not had the chance to really kick the backside out of the transfer speculation. Let's do it. 0141 951 1025. And the big news that everyone has been waiting on, apparently Premiership footballers are cancelling their holidays for this. Tonight we're going to launch the Clyde One Super Scoreboard Half Season Awards. Roger Hanna, the Golden Globes do not get a look in on here.
Is that why the red Kenny and I come in the red carpet tonight?
Incredible. Honestly, the most prestigious award that you could possibly get your hands on. We'll do a different category every night this week. It will be a real, you know, glitzy, glamorous affair. So we'll kick that off tonight. We'll do it a bit later on, but you can get your suggestions in on Twitter already. Tonight's category is signing of the season. So get your thinking caps on, and we'll do that a bit later on, maybe the second hour of the show on 0141 951 1025. Let's kick us off with the transfer window. Whatever you've got, this is a blank canvas. Throw all your speculation at me, all your wish lists. And if you want to get specific, Celtic fans, would you let Gustav Lagerbielka go? Rangers fans, would you let Ridvan Yilmaz go? Where are we with Lauren Shankland? And so on. 0141 951 1025. You're not off the hook entirely though, because they deserve the spotlight. People might not even know this stuff if they're fans of the top flight. Who was the result of the weekend in the absence of the Premiership?
I'm going Morton.
Oh, has to be.
Away at Dundee United. Fantastic result. And by the way, started to climb that table as well after a really dodgy start and down the bottom for long spells, but now climbing the table now.
Well, Morton got a lot of headlines at the weekend, but you need to remember Dundee United aren't leaders in the Championship. Raith Rovers are leaders in the Championship, and they lost to Airdrie. So the Diamonds get my result of the weekend. Nikolai Todorov scoring the goal, and Rhys McCabe for a team that's just come in to the Championship this season in the promotion playoff places, Gordon.
Fine, okay, I won't grumble with them. You have to do a bit of searching. I ask a lot of you in these weekends, do we have a goal of the weekend?
Well, I'm sticking with that game, George Oakley, third goal.
Not bad.
Yep, fantastic goal, fantastic performance.
Not the only guy to get a hat-trick at the weekend, but we'll maybe get to that. It was a great goal, actually, and as the cliche goes, worthy of sealing the hat-trick and the game.
Yeah, and listen, speaking of the game you guys were at yesterday, there only is one goal of the weekend. Kenny was there. Kenny got a hat-trick. The Scotland Legends win. The goal of the weekend has to be John Rankin, the Hamilton manager. Absolutely fantastic from distance.
It was good in the testimonial. That was a good strike, I have to say. John Rankin with the goal. Do you have a competitive example? Or we'll leave it there.
Well, the one competitive example, and I saw Andrew McLean of this parish tweeting about it earlier on, Patrick Bamford in the FA Cup for Leeds United. Have you seen it yet, Kenny?
I've seen it, yep.
Told you it was a quiet weekend. We've gone from a testimonial to the English FA Cup. What's happening here?
No, that, I mean,
it was good, right?
John Rankin's was good.
It deserves a mention, that's for sure.
Where does that leave us? Howler of the weekend? Are we being unfair in the lower leagues?
Well,
come
no,
on.
Again, I'm going to stick with a theme. I'm going to go both Dundee United and Raith for slipping up when one team at the top of the table, when they're going head to head, you expect them to take advantage of that, but both teams losing in the same weekend.
And Super Scoreboard sent me down Somerset Park to see Ayr United at the weekend.
Yeah. Kicking and screaming you were, to go back to Ayrshire.
As Gordon DL tells us, Ayr United don't have a great record against Inverness, and they lost a horrible opening goal. Don't know whether you've seen it in social media yet. A really clumsy touch, but the recalled goalkeeper, Charlie Albinson, Max Anderson nipped it off his toe, Billy Mackay knocked it into an empty net, and there was no way back for there.
Top man, top performer of the weekend, who's getting the nod?
Yeah, George Oakley for me. Hat-trick, big game. Oh. Yep, stick with the same game.
Two games in a row, Morton have had hat-trick scorers
as
well.
Yeah, really Robbie Muirhead for the week. Yeah.
Great run that. And for you?
For me, I'll go back to Somerset Park. Morgan Boys on loan for Inverness from Livy. A big centre-half, left-sided centre-half, and twice he popped up on the right side of the box with headers that Duncan Ferguson would have been proud of.
And there we are, 01419511025. Get all your transfer thoughts over to us in the first part of tonight's show, and then we'll do our first Clyde One Super Scoreboard half season award a bit later, which is your signing of this season. We can just get it out of the way right now if you want. Like we said, George Oakley wasn't the only hat trick scorer at the weekend. I'm happy, I don't mind. I was there.
I've done my bit, I'm happy with that now.
If I had to sit and watch you and your fellow ex pros wandering around in sub zero temperatures, I don't mind if you get a mention.
About it, it's sort of us, yeah. Something else, well.
Can I, as a man who wasn't there, can I just clarify who was marking you?
Nobody. It was just, there was
a. I'll rephrase the question.
There was some good movement.
Who should have been marking you?
So there was one, I think the first one was, that's a good play for John Rankin. He sucked somebody in, and I was left to kind of just sidestep Big Higgy and put it in. Next one, it was a rod pass. Put straight through 1v1, and the last one was across, laid back, put in the top corner.
So Stephen Dobie's testimonial, for those who don't know, so it was the Scotland Legends, and I actually counted up, that's how sad I am. I think there was over 300 caps worth of Scotland international on the pitch. Kenny Miller's got 69 caps, James McFadden 48, Colin Hendry played, Charlie Mulgrew,
Faddy
44.
When you add them all up,
Mark Wilson, half a cap.
Mark Wilson,
he did say that as we're running out.
Legends.
As we're running out, he did say this is my second cap.
how did this pan out? Because you revealed on the show on Saturday that in the team lists that were to lure the general public to Palmerston, Scotland Legends, 22 players listed. He wasn't among them.
Well, the thing is, I got home Saturday night, late Saturday night, and they published an updated team list.
Oh, yeah.
And he still wasn't on it. So I sent it to Gordon DL about midnight, and he said, you have to tell him. You have to tell him not to go. But there must have been a few call-offs. He ended up playing quite a bit in Gordon DL's old boots. I hasten to add. They were disgusting.
He was talking about that as well. I don't think they were Tiempos either.
The highlight of it, Kenny Miller's hat-trick, yeah, whatever, fine. Mark Wilson bombing down the line. He's tried to get a cross in, blocked, and he crashed right into the advertising box.
No way.
Cut his arm. I'm trying to get the footage at the moment.
Well, it was raging as well, by the way. It was actually raging.
Footage will be easy to come upon. You know, it's a quiet weekend. I've touched upon the Scottish Championship and the FA Cup third round, a quieter weekend than normal. I was doing my ironing yesterday afternoon, Kenny, flicked on Sky Sports News, and I had to get through Gordon Duncan interviewing Mark Wilson, and then you scoring a goal.
Listen, all the big hitters were out on Sunday afternoon.
It was a quiet weekend, but this is, you know, that way that, like, with friends like these, who needs enemies, sort of thing. Mark Wilson smashed into the advertising boards. There was like a around Palmerston, and I just couldn't stop laughing. That was my first instinct, was just to laugh, and then afterwards I thought it's a bit inappropriate. He could have caused himself a damage.
How were the advertising boards? Would Marv have some of the players out fixing them today?
Fold like a deck chair, honestly. Right,
keep them off the Xbox.
01419511025. Enough about Kenny Miller's testimonial hat trick. Let's bring in Stephen, who is a Rangers fan. How are you, Stephen?
Very well, you?
Not bad. I asked Stephen at the top, what have we got transfer-wise? Anything that's jumping out for you at the moment?
Well, to be honest with you, transfer-wise, well, there's a speculation over the... First of all, good evening, by the way, I should have said that.
Good evening, Stephen.
Stephen, I ask a question. I don't mind that. I'm giving you the invitation to just ignore us and crack straight on.
Cool. There's speculation over a couple of left-backs at Rangers. In the transfer window, Philippe Clement's actually came out and said there's a player he used to manage. I think he's a German boy. But I'm just curious as to the whole situation with Ridvan Yilmaz and Borna Barisic. You've not heard an awful lot about Borna Barisic. I think he's on his way out. However, the speculation with regards to Ridvan Yilmaz, I don't see why Rangers should actually get rid of him. Yes, he had a bad first season. He didn't make many appearances in the first season. However, he's come onto a game now, and he's kind of solidified in that left back position as his own. And I'm just wondering why Philippe Clement feels the need to get rid of him with the part of the Josh Doig swap deal, money deal, whatever the case may be. I'm just wondering what the panel's view on that is.
Well, look, we've made a few leaps there, I think.
Yeah.
But
that's fine.
It's that season. It's that time of year. Is it a likely possibility that Real Madrid does leave this window? And if so, do you understand Stephen's sort of surprise at the timing, given that he has just...
If you want to get through the left back, Barisic for me has been a really good signing for Rangers for what he cost. He has done everything that was asked for him. He has won trophies. And I think Borna Barisic has probably had his Rangers career. I'm not saying he'll go this window, but he's out of contract in the summer. I think Barisic will leave the club in the coming period, if you like. Mm-hmm. Yilmaz, for me, has not set the heather on fire. He's most famous in these parts for looking like Andy Halliday.
He doesn't either, but someone did tweet in one time.
That's what he's been known for.
Andy will not be happy.
And
that.
Listen, another point Stephen made, he'd set up Cantwell's goal very well against Kilmarnock. He just hasn't convinced me at all. And when you look at the speculation and the interest from Hellas Verona, it looks to me as if he hasn't convinced Philippe Clement. And Philippe Clement will look to get a better left back in. For me, from what I've seen of the two of them, Josh Doig's a better left back than Ridvan Yilmaz. So if Rangers can pull off this trick, I think they'll be doing well.
We're not that far on, and this doesn't mean he's not going to leave, but we're not that far on from Philippe Clement making a point of saying that's the best I've seen him, and, you know, giving him some praise. And like I say, my barometer's always this show. I remember calls just maybe last week, 10 days ago, saying, all right, I'm liking what I'm seeing. I wonder if he's now the number one left back.
Well, I think it would be interesting if Borna Barisic was fit and there was a cup semi-final, a cup final, or an Old Firm game coming tomorrow, who would be playing? Because I still think Barisic would get picked before him. And he did play really, really well. I thought Yilmaz, for the first half of the game against Kilmarnock, I thought he was probably the best player on the pitch. He looked really, really good. And in the second half, he obviously then set Cantwell's goal up. So there's been moments in his Rangers career, I think a goal against Livingston earlier in the season. It was an outstanding goal, dribble for his own half and then a really good finish. So there's been moments in his Rangers career. He just looks as well as a player, he's maybe not quite settled and not that happy in Glasgow. So maybe he's also kind of pursuing moves as well. So it wouldn't surprise me if he went. But like I say, if Barisic does go, which I don't think he will, I think he'll maybe he'll see his contract out and go on a free maybe in the summer. I just don't know if you need another left back at this moment. If one of them leaves, absolutely, then they need to get a left back in. But time will tell. Listen, 3 weeks left of the transfer window, there will be a lot of movements. And if I was Rangers, embarrassed, it's looking like it is going to move. See if you can get any kind of money back in for him. Now, maybe he's the one to move. Mm. You know, maybe he's the one to try and move on. Because if Young Maz is going to move, he can still move in the summer. But for another player to move, and I know he never cost as much as a Ryan Kent who left for free, but another player to lose for free who has been linked with potential £3-5 million moves over the last two or three seasons, again, it just doesn't look great for the club.
What do you think, Stephen?
I think we'll following on from what Kenny said, I think Rangers signed Barisic for £2 million for Osijek after the Champions League performance, which was cracking, to be honest with you. He was one of the best players in the park on that game. But I still go back to the guy's only started coming into the team. He started to play well. Is four games enough to say, by the way, you're canned, you're out of the game after four games? He started to play well.
Do you ever wonder, Stephen, is it worth taking into account why it's taken that long though? You know, is that maybe part of it?
Well, it's a part of the last season. He was injured for quite a long time, and granted, I take on board what the guys are saying about he's not really set the heather on fire. But he's only really got a string of games over four games, and if you're basing your analysis over four games, then it's kind of tough on the guy, to be quite honest with you.
He finished the season in the team as well, Stephen, and then come the start of the season, Barisic gets the nod ahead of him as well. So I get it.
What will that be now? Three managers? Jean-Maz had three, yep, Rangers managers. Yeah, is that right?
I think he's got a lot to prove if he's going to be the Rangers left back starting every single week in a successful team moving forward. That's not to say it won't happen, but I think there's still a lot of questions to be answered.
And the thing, Stephen, you'll have heard this in the show, you know, Celtic fans phoning in asking about Naroki and Lagerby Elk and why they weren't getting in the team and they haven't had a chance. And we would always say, Brendan Rodgers sees them every day in training. You know, just because they haven't been in the team, that doesn't mean they're not getting a chance. I think it'll be the same. Philip Clement will have seen Ridvan Yilmaz every day in training. And Kenny, you know, asked the question there, if it was a cup final tomorrow, who would play? Well, it was a cup final in the middle of last month and Borna Barisic played.
What about generally? Because everybody who comments on Rangers, whether that be fans or pundits or anyone, would say Philippe Clement will want to get his own players in at some point. And if you're looking at kind of obvious areas to do that, would that be an opportunity this window?
That's an easy thing to say. Philippe Clement will want to improve the team where he thinks it needs improved. And yeah, left back probably is. You know, there was Rangers were linked last week with Owen Beck after he went back from Dundee to Liverpool. They've been linked strongly with Josh Doig. As Stephen says, there are others in the continent they've been linked with as well. I think left back is an area that Philip Clement will think he can improve Rangers in.
Where are we on Josh Doig? Because sometimes what you have to be honest, some of us will watch a lot of Serie A, others won't. And you just think, well, he's out there and he's in Serie A and that's good and he's great, and then you must bring him back. You say, have you watched him? No, but he's here, he's doing great things.
I'd be surprised if Josh Doig was a worse player now than he was when he was at Hibs.
Right.
And at the time he left Hibs, he was of a quality that you would have thought Celtic or Rangers would have looked to have taken him.
He did play against Inter Milan at the weekend. Kenny came off after 73 minutes. I think, you know, he's been... 13 appearances for Verona this season, most of them in the league, obviously, I think two cup games. So it's great to see someone go and broaden their horizons, and as Roger says, he probably is a better player for it because he's still relatively young. He's only 21, which you forget. You do wonder if we will see him back closer to home.
Listen, I think there's no doubt, we've said all season actually on the left back position, maybe on both sides of Glasgow, but in Rangers it was always going to have to be addressed with Barisic coming out of contract. And again, at this point, still now, Yilmaz not really claimed that spot and made it his own. Is Josh Doig the answer? I'm like you, Gunnar, I don't watch that much to Serie A. So I don't know how he's going. He's made into the Scotland squad of late as well. And Kieran Tierney's absence, Andy Robertson's absence, will that be a continued role in that team? I'm not sure once these guys get back fit. He's an obvious one because he's another one of these players we're probably putting in the category that maybe Rangers and Celtic have missed out on because they've jumped ship and went across and went abroad. So again, I said I've not seen enough of him to say whether he'd be good or not. I think at Hibs coming through, there was a lot of hype surrounding him. Did I really see his game develop? Maybe not as much towards the end of his Hibs time, but he's made this move now, like Lewis Ferguson did. Lewis Ferguson's career's kind of kicked on. He's playing, he's the captain of the team. Josh Doyle's got some really, really good press since his time across at Verona. So it's, listen, it could be a good one. Again, I really like Lukey Beck at left back. I've said it many times. I thought he was an outstanding player for Dundee, and it'd be a really
Liverpool
good one.
I was going to say that actually.
It'll be a very, very difficult deal to do, because of Liverpool's situation with left backs at the minute. If Rangers could get Owen Beck, that would be a terrific piece of business.
Well, I'll tell you what, later on I said we'd do signing of the season, and I know he's left already, but you never know. Owen Beck might be there. It's the half-season awards. It's the one they all want to win. So that might be a name for you out there later on. Thanks to Stephen from Bridge of Weir. It was nice to speak to you, Stephen, and we'll do more of your calls next.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Kenny Miller are in the building. We're talking transfers, January window. We're going to get round to the first of our Clyde One Super Scoreboard half season awards. Really catchy, isn't it? Just kind of rolls off the tongue. We'll do that a bit later on in the show as well. Let's bring another story to the fore. I noticed this one doing the rounds today on Sky and various other outlets that Lecce have approached Celtic with a view to taking Gustav Lagerbielka. Let's bring in Thomas, who's a Celtic fan. What do you make of that one, Thomas?
Hi, Roger. Hi, Kenny.
Hi, Thomas.
Hi, Thomas.
To be honest, Gordon, I don't understand it. We spent £3 million on Lagerbielka and £4 million in Navrocki, and they're not getting a game. I just don't understand it. Really don't. I don't see why they can't play. I know Carter Vickers, obviously, when he's fit and playing well, he's a stick on, you know, but I just feel that when Rocky, they paid £4 million for him, and also Lagerbielka, and also there's reports that he maybe going to sign him. I just don't understand why Brendan Rodgers maybe didn't rate him.
Mm. So, right, firstly, Roger, on the story bit, you know, I'll lean into your strengths, both of you, on the story bit. Is that one you think will happen? Yeah. One that's likely?
I think there's a right good chance it will happen. And mainly because he is so far down the pecking order. That's even with Nat Phillips having headed back to Liverpool. And another point you make, Thomas, one player costs £4 million, one player costs £3 million. When Brendan Rodgers is picking the team, he wants to pick his two best central defenders. I think I'm in agreement with you. Cameron Carter-Vickers is the best. And you look at form this season, Liam Scales merits his place in the team, looks as if he's going to get a contract extension, and is ahead of Stephen Welsh and Mike Navrocki. And that means Gustav Lagerbielka is the fifth choice centre half at the club. And I think if Lecce try and push this through, I think Brendan Rodgers will sanction it.
Kenny, well, it's one that just leads to question after question, because if he's not good enough, fine. Do you know what I mean? What's the big drama? Yep. If Brendan Rodgers doesn't think he's good enough, then that's football. At the same time, okay, did Brendan Rodgers sign him? How much of a role did he play? Is it a recruitment issue there? These are what fans are wondering, like Thomas is.
And they're right to wonder, because three centre-backs have came in, and I know there's been injury in Navrocki, but three centre-backs have came in the summer, and none of them have played effectively. You know, you've went to two academy products in an Old Firm game of Scales and Welsh. Lagerbielka again in the Old Firm game at Ibrox. I thought he looked really, really dodgy. He didn't look up to it. Scales was his partner that day. He was the one that looked the steady ship on the left side of Celtic's defence. So that would be the question. There's no way Brendan Rodgers signed him. There's no way Brendan Rodgers signed a player 5 months ago and now he's not good enough.
At the same time, you can get them wrong though. I think, was he not the Swedish league's player of the season? He is a Sweden international.
So I don't think you write him off at that point then. I don't think if you've signed him and you believe he could be this player, I don't think you write it off that quickly.
And I'm not sure, we had this debate in the Saturday show 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I made the point that, remember Christopher Ayer, when he arrived, didn't set the heather alight, was loaned out to Kilmarnock for 6 months and came back a vastly improved player and got into the team alongside Christopher Julien, and then was sold for an awful lot of money. So I'm not sure Celtic are writing off Lagerby Elk.
So you think a loan move?
You're writing him off if you're selling him.
Well, I think it's a loan move, isn't it?
There was also transfer fees mentioned.
I would have, my own guesstimate at the minute of this is he'll go to Lecce for 6 months.
Well, that's a different
Celtic will reassess in the summer.
Is that desirable, that, Thomas? You know, it doesn't have to be the end of the road. Just go and get game time and maybe come back better.
Well, obviously, if he's going to get one, get the football, you know, but obviously, I agree with Kenny Miller. Navrocki and Lagerbielka wasn't Brendan Rodgers' things. I know that, but I just don't understand why. Obviously, they come in for big money, you know, and I just don't understand why they're not getting played. You know, I know Brendan Rodgers sees them every day in training, but it's a funny one.
That's exactly why, though. That is exactly why, Thomas, because he does see them every day. We talked about it in terms of Yilmaz and Lagerbielka earlier, that he sees them every single day. And when you're picking a team, by the way, if Brendan Rodgers picks a team and these guys are in it and they lose games, it's him that gets it in the neck. So he's picking the team that he feels best is equipped to go and win any game of football that Celtic are playing. So that's why they're not playing it. He's deeming them at this moment in time that they are not the best options to start at centre-back for Celtic.
Brendan Rodgers has seen the end of the Christopher Ayer story that you mentioned. Yeah. He was also front and centre when Ryan Christie looked like he was completely gone and went on loan, and probably everyone thought it was going to be permanent. And look, you know, there are examples, I suppose. But it's been very up and down, hasn't it? Because you get one. I remember the night, it was the Champions League game, wasn't it? And Stephen Welsh back from long-term injury and Lagerbielka to settle for a place on the bench. So understandably, at that point, when the team lines come out, we in the studio are saying, this is the end of the road. You know, this can't be a good sign. He then comes on and scores. And then later that night, there's loads of people tweeting, saying, listen to you idiots, you were all thinking it was the end of the road, and well done, he came on and scored. And then we've not seen him since, and now you get these stories that perhaps it's one Brendan Rodgers would look to free up, even if it is temporarily, during this window.
Well, listen, if you're Brendan Rodgers, and we've got a pecking order with Gus there, Carter Vickers at the top, Scales has emerged as his most likely partner since Starfield left, then it's Welsh, then it's Navrocki. Are you better having Gustav Lagerbielk out playing football at a good level with Lecce, or just, you know, training at Lennox Down and not getting a sniff of the first team? I think it makes sense for Celtic to get the lad out. It makes sense for the lad and his career development. And then you look at it again in the summer. If he goes and does well at Lecce, he might get back into the first team picture at Celtic. If he goes and disappears at Lecce and doesn't improve, then Celtic have a decision to make about his long-term future in the summer.
Maybe on Mike Navrotsky though, Thomas. You know, he's came on in the game against Rangers and then played again. Maybe, just maybe a bit of a kickstart for him. The old break comes at the wrong time cliche. Can he maybe kick on a bit afterwards?
I thought Navrotsky played well against Rangers, Steve, honest God. When he came in, you know, he's not many chances, but when he did come in, especially against Rangers, I think he done really well, you know. But I quite like Navrotsky a lot. We've not seen it a lot of him, you know, but he's prone to mistakes, you know, but I suppose you can understand that with somebody so young, you know what I mean? But I just feel they need to be playing to see who are strongest back for us.
I think the one, particularly those two, Kenny, this has come up before when people were desperate to break Celtic signings into categories. They're either projects or they're not. And everyone says, you know, we can't sign projects, it doesn't work, and don't want to see any more projects. I just don't think those two can really be classed as projects, and that's maybe why fans like Thomas are a bit more confused as to the picture. Like I said, his credentials, if you're player of the season in the Swedish top flight or whatever he was, and a Sweden international, you're not really a project by Scottish football standards, albeit he is young. Similarly, Mike Navrotsky, you know, full season, Ligue 1 Warsaw, that would be a similarish level to what, you know, they wouldn't get into that They're not from the South Korean second division, yep. is ultimately what I'm trying to say.
And when it's a position that Celtic needed a player to play and to partner Carter Vickers, they were getting signed to play.
And decent money.
You know, absolutely. And a lot of money, a big transfer fees for our teams to be paying £3 and £4 million. So they were coming in to play, or at least obviously one of them was coming in to partner Carter Vickers. The fact is, Rodgers just listed the pecking order at Celtic, he's absolutely bang on. They are fourth and fifth in that list at this moment in time. So
it would have been a lot easier for Celtic if Liam Scales had been rubbish.
Listen, of course, you know, it would, because
Liam Scales had come back from Aberdeen, not performed. Yep. You'd have had to play one of them.
Yep.
At Liam Scales, he's just mucked it up, the whole thing up.
So what you're telling me is that when we do signing of the season later on, we're not going to mention Lagerbielka, Navrotsky or Nat Phillips. Is that about it in a nutshell? We can agree.
I think we're in agreement on that.
But you never know. Players have gone on loan, come back and been strong before, so we'll watch it with interest. Thank you, Thomas. What about Joe, who's on the line? How's it going, Joe?
I'm not bad, Gordon. How are you?
All good here, all good. What have you got for us tonight?
Well, I've just let run this one by his panel. And it's, I know some guys come on, some people come on, I've heard this. This is genuine. I've got a friend back up, I'm down in Scunthorpe, I've got a friend back up near Glasgow who's still kept in touch with Jeremy Defoe. But now, I don't know if you don't know this, but he's the under-18s manager at Tottenham. And he still keeps in touch with my mate back in Scotland, and invited him actually down to the game at the weekend there. And I was talking to him, and cut a long story short, he's saying to him that Ange's been up sniffing about one of the Japanese players at Celtic, and he personally thinks it's Itati. He thinks it's Itati, he's trying to get him. I'd just like to see what Kenny and Roger thinks in that.
Oh, before I get there, I absolutely love it. This is what this show was made for in the transfer window. Jermaine Defoe is telling Joe's mate, who's from Motherwell, lives in Scunthorpe, that Ange Postecoglou is sniffing about potentially Areo Hitati. More of this, please. What are you giving me?
Well, I don't know it's wrong. I don't know it's right. I don't know it's wrong. You look in that Tottenham side, it looks as if his need is more for defenders than it is for midfielders at the minute. But you never know, he rates Itati very, very highly. Reo Itati's now away to the Asian Cup, having had real injury problems in the first half of the season at Celtic.
Having emotionally hugged Brendan Rodgers at the end of his last game.
Brendan Rodgers explained that, didn't he? You say, you know, he was so relieved and overwhelmed to get back into the team.
That's what you would say if you were
trying to cover up the Jermaine
Defoe trail.
Itati could do a job in the English Premier League.
I love it, Kenny. I don't even care if it's true, I love it.
If it's one of the it would be more likely to be Hitati than any other two for me. Yep, absolutely. My concern would be, I know Ange obviously signed him and he knows he knew him well. That's why he brought him over and had a wonderful season last year, or half season, I would say. I think the injuries and I don't think his form's been particularly great over the last kind of 8-10 months. Do I think he could play at the top of his game? Absolutely, I do, because he came in and he looked all energy, all action midfielder. He can be building the play alongside Callum McGregor. Obviously, we've seen his goals that he scored in the early stages of Celtic career as well. He can see a pass, very, very comfortable on the ball. So I think he could fit into the English Premier League. But there would be, I think there's a lot of questions still to answer whether he could actually go to Tottenham. Or, by the way, if Ange would actually come for any of the Celtic players. But if it was going to be one of the Japanese players, for me, I mean, Hitati would be at the top of that for me.
You're trusting your source, Joe. You think this is one to look out for?
Very much so. Honestly, if I was a betting man, I'd definitely 100% on the sort. I'd even come back on the show. I can't give you my friend's name, obviously, but
wouldn't expect
protect your sources.
That's
yep.
it. Always keep them close.
He is very, very close to Jimmy Fort, and Defoe has not forgot about him because he helped him with his time at Rangers, looking for a house and an environment, and he told him another couple of things that's came through. So, just thought it there. But another thing, I don't think Hitati has been injured as much as people saying. Also, I think lately he's been. If he wasn't half fit, why is he away? Away with his team, why is he playing there? And I think the emotional hug at the end is a lot more than just saying, "Well, I'm back playing."
The plot thickens. The plot thickens on
conspiracy
it. Netflix on this.
Yeah.
Joe, if we give Joe 30 more seconds, he will absolutely tell us his mate's name.
Yeah.
Whether his job, his location, his shoe size. Joe, I'm going to cut you off there before you burn that source forever. But we will check in again, I'm sure. We'll see what happens. Thank you very much to Joe from Motherwell in Scunthorpe. He's got a mate, knows Jermaine Defoe, and Hitati's away. Sorry, Celtic fans, ruined your new year, but that's the way it works sometimes. I'll tell you who might not have their new year ruined. One of you, if you can win this. Clyde One. Make me a winner. A new week, a brand new Make Me a Winner call, the first Monday of the year, and no winner. Today's call went all the way to the Five Rings, so no one wins the £52,000. If you've got a missed call on your phone around about 3 p.m, chuck that phone in the bin. Seriously, that's not going to be a missed call you want to think about ever again. But let's forget and move on. Tomorrow's a new day, and we're adding even more cash to the pot, £54,000. And you could be the winner after 3 p.m. when we make another call. But you do need to be in the draw. So text YES to 61025, YES to 61025. £2 to text, plus your standard network rate. Or you can enter at Clyde1.com for £2, or call 0330 880 4523. And those calls are charged at a standard rate as well. It is over 18s only. But don't worry, if you've entered since Omar Balaji won on Friday, all the entries are still in the draw. You don't have to re-enter, and you can get all the other rules for this network competition online. The important bit, if you get the call from us after 3 p.m. tomorrow, which is Tuesday the 9th, answer within five rings, say make me a winner straight away. Don't say anything before that. Make me a winner, and the £54,000 would be yours. Text YES to 61025.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Kenny Miller are in the building, and you can get in touch on that usual number. It's 0141 951 1025. If you don't know it already, or tweet us at ClydeSSB. We're talking transfer window very much open the 8th of January, in case you hadn't noticed. And I just wonder, Roger, the timing of all this stuff. Generally, teams want to do it early, obviously. Why wouldn't you? Not always easy. Rangers did what Celtic have done in the past and almost kind of made an announcement before the window even opened. Does it always go a bit quieter in that? So you obviously have got New Year sort of period. Then I would imagine this week, teams and players are kind of still on a beach somewhere. Should we expect anything imminent, or is it a bit of a slow burner?
Well, you're half right. I think managers and coaches like to get the business done early. I think chairman and chief executive like to take it to the wire, get that little bit of drama, get the yellow ties out in Sky Sports News and have their name across that yellow bar about 10 to 12 on the 31st of January, just for the drama effect.
Counterproductive in a footballing sense, though, isn't it?
It is counterproductive in a footballing sense, because apart from anything else, you're wasting 4 weeks when you can have the player in the building the way Fabio Silva is in the building. Yes, Brendan Rodgers is away. Yes, Philippe Clement is away at the minute. But I think they'll want players in as quickly as they can get them in, Gordon.
I feel like every window, Kenny, because it allows newspapers like Roger Hanna to use the phrase transfer saga. I don't know when it's official, when it becomes that. I don't know if there's a number of days that has to be passed. But the one name that will obviously dominate, I think, this window, one way or the other, will be Lauren Shankland. Is that fair? Even staying is a story in itself. Going, where does he go?
Well, listen, there is so many different things that could actually happen. Some people, I think it was a caller on Friday night saying, oh, Lauren Shankland's happy at Hearts and he'll be offered a new contract. He could potentially sign a new contract. He's been linked with both sides of the Old Firm, you know. So if there's any truth in that, it's going to go to the wire, because I think both teams do need a striker, you know, and a striker who can score a lot of goals. And at this moment in time, he's the best one we've got in the country. So I'll go on and on what Hearts are going to be looking for a game of threw numbers out of twos, three, four, £5 million, you know. So it'll not be easy to get Lauren Shankland, I think, because I think Hearts hold all the cards, but there's no doubt he will be involved. And by the way, we always just think of Glasgow, and it could be somewhere down south, you know. Someone might come from abroad and test Hearts' resolve. So his name will definitely be on everybody's lips right up until that transfer window is slammed shut.
You're talking, Gordon. In the second half of the show, we're going to debate signing of the season, and we're going to have all different categories through the next few days. The most important player for his club in Scotland right now is Lauren Shankland.
Hold on a minute, let me write that down. I was short of a category for Wednesday night.
If Hearts lose Lauren Shankland in this window, they are in major bother, because Lauren Shankland has carried that team on his back this season. The second top scorer on the team is Owen Goals this
season.
Gone
by Vargas now, by the way.
Vargas has pulled level, has he, on three?
Owen Goals and Kenny Vargas. he is crucial to everything Hearts do. Yep. Very wise move by Robbie Nielsen back in the day to make him captain after Craig Gordon's injury. He has taken on great responsibility. He has carried Hearts into third place. 7 goals in the last 6 games. He is vital. If Hearts sell him, they better have something up their sleeve.
Let's be honest, has a lot of this just been built around what is it? Is it an assumption that Rangers are interested? Is it
It's been fueled by Philip Clement's comments about Lauren Shankland, hasn't it?
You think it is a bit of that?
From the very start, even before the first time Rangers played Hearts in Clement's era, he spoke about Shankland, spoke about remembering him from the Belgian League during his time at Bearshot.
Is that kind of natural, though, or are we reading too much into that?
He then fueled it with speaking to him on the pitch, if you remember, after the game and what have you. So maybe everybody's just putting two and two together, but I think it's natural for a club like Rangers and a manager like Philip Clement to have an active interest in a guy who's top scorer in the league, who is known to have perhaps supported Rangers as a younger man, who has only got 18 months left on his contract, is in the form of his life, who's likely to go to the Euros with Scotland this summer. I think there's something far wrong if Rangers didn't have an interest in the player.
Well, if you've any thoughts, please get them into us right now. And if not, stay tuned for tomorrow's update on Lauren Shankland as well. Like we said, it's probably the number one name that seems to be speculated about. What about Ross, who's on the line? He's a Morton fan. You must be a happy man at the moment, Ross.
Yeah, I'm quite happy. I just the new way things are going. I was like, it's going to bleak at the start of the season. So just kind of just turned it around, which I thought it would have. That was the one for calling for the seat, to be honest with you, because who do you get in there? There's a community fan based club, so money's really tight for lights of teams like Morton. So yeah, just go and get a manager tomorrow.
The start of the season was a weird one, Roger. Like the August into September, championship form was grim, you know, struggling personnel wise. Then went to Ibrox and did really well, and we're close, but the form didn't really pick up at all. But you can understand why Ross is feeling much better. December and the start of January has been very impressive by Morton.
Listen, Ross will tell you, I mean, they were hamstrung by injuries. It was a spell that Dougie could only name 3 or 4 substitutes on the bench. He actually did very well to keep Morton in touch with the rest at that stage. And then I think it was the day, correct me if I'm wrong here, Ross, that day up at Arbroath, Morton had a horrendous record against Arbroath, and they managed to go up there and dig out a result. And they've hardly ever looked back from there. Hat-trick for Robbie Muirhead last midweek against Ayr. Hat-trick for George Oakley at Tannadice at the weekend. They are 5th, I think, in the league now. There's only the promotion playoff places above them. Mm-hmm. And we're focused on Dundee United and Raith for obvious reasons last weekend. Game of the weekend this weekend has to be Morton against Partick Thistle.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. Was that the turning point, Ross? I mean, you look at in the to go 5 wins and 2 draws, and both those draws being goalless draws away from home, for that to be the run in the last 7s in a league that is very unpredictable, that's impressive consistency, isn't it?
Probably, but you've got to look at Elite 2. Elite's always tight. Yep. 3 wins and you're up there, and 3 defeats and you're down to the bottom. It's very, very tight. Even like Dundee United, they've got a massive budget. But obviously, you've just got to beat what's in front of you. I'm not going to head of myself by any stretch of imagination, but I was listening to Dougie after the game, and he said, you'll see what's about. He's not just going to bring a body in for the sake of bringing them in. It's got to be a right player, which I totally get. But in the very art, you've got to let a couple of bodies go out before you can bring a body in. But all the Morton fans, well, some of the Morton fans were like calling for his feet, but you've just got, I know it's a results driven business. When the team's been good, the players get credit. When the team's been bad, the manager's a bullet. But that's, you kind of keep on sacking the manager, building. But I get Morton's got loans, maybe five players signed for the next season.
Mm-hmm.
But they could do a loan market every year, so every year you're building a team.
I was just going to ask Ross, talking to players coming in, is it important to get Lewis Stramp back? Because he 100%. Left.
100%, Roger. I think that's a turning point. I think that's a turning point because I don't know behind the scenes what happened, but he always gives 100%. Even his long throws are like a corner, you know what I mean? It's just throw a ball into a box. But Jim Goodman talked about a punt into a box on Saturday, but at the end of the day, you can only beat him what's in front of you. If that's the way he's got to play a style of play football against a good Dundee United team, that's what you've got to do. Pete have been doing that for Morton for years, they're both that. Dick Campbell and that, they've been playing that sort of style of football for years.
Oh, listen, don't bring up Dick Campbell because he was the opposition manager. No, he was your manager. He was your manager that inspired you to the hat trick yesterday in the testimonial. Did he any words of wisdom for you?
A few stories between him and his brother Pinky before. We couldn't shut them up, to be honest.
Sounds about right, Roger. But here's the bit. Here's the really interesting bit. I think I read this today. Can you're a stato, an anorak, a sad man. Ultimately, no offence. Mm-hmm. The back-to-back hat tricks.
Yeah.
Is there not more to it? You read this today, if I got this right. Back-to-back perfect hat-tricks.
Oh.
A week apart by two different Morton players.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. If that's true, that must be, I don't know, first in a long time.
I'm not sure even Andy Ritchie pulled that one off in his Morton career.
So, and it's not even, it's 4 days apart.
Yeah.
So four days, 2nd of January, Robbie Muirhead got the hat-trick. I think it was a perfect hat-trick.
So I need to check that.
Right. And then 4 days later, George Oakley does it, and I think it's in the same order. I'm sure. Ross,
can I just double check? You're calling me the anorak?
I couldn't tell you.
Oh, somebody needs to confirm.
User.
I just read it, stole it off someone, and now I can't even remember who it was to give them the credit.
Gordon Dale.
I'm thinking not actually. No, I'm thinking not. But thank you very much to Ross because that takes us up to time for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Speaking of your esteemed colleague, do you ever get that where you worry that you spend so much time with someone that you start, like, I was going to say acting like him, I'm certainly not going to go far.
And don't start thinking like him either.
No, but like, you know that way that like he's got a particularly like calamitous lifestyle where he does like little daft things or daft mistakes and you think how did you do that? I had for the first time ever, so it was a real soul searching moment today where I did something really stupid and he just sprung to my mind. I just thought that's just the kind of thing he would do, and I wonder if he's rubbing off on me. So I had to go to a popular indoor shopping centre just off the M77, you know the one.
I know.
I had to go there on my way into work because a week ago I just left my daughter's pram there. Inexplicably just left it. Like, put her in the car, just didn't bother putting the pram in the boot.
So it's just sitting
and
there.
And I just left it. And then days and days went by, and my wife said, "Where's the pram?" I thought, I don't know. What are you asking me? And just obviously process elimination, thinking back, when was the last time I had it? And as soon as I went into the wee kind of shop mobility office or whatever it was, like multiple staff members sort of come out like, are you the guy that left the pram? And I thought I could try and pass it off to my wife, but she was sneaky. She outed me on the email that she sent in, saying straight away in capital letters almost, my idiot husband left the. And I thought, that's just the type of thing he would do. And I don't know, have I spent too long with him?
Possibly.
I think that could be easily done.
I'm glad you've said that, because nobody's had any sympathy for me.
It would have been a lot worse if you'd left the baby in her,
innit? I'm glad you said that.
Put the pram in and left away.
Nobody's backed me on that so far.
I can see that.
Everybody's given me the whole, how did you manage that?
Still sitting there, weighing in the car seat, jump in the car and off you go.
I've never done it by the way,
but I'm just saying I can see why it could be done.
There is a signed ball on the line here. If you want to play, there we are. Yes, Sammy McFarlane and Gav Miller, back-to-back perfect hat-tricks. There we go. That's the information you need. Anyway, I'm distracting everybody here. It is Beat the Pundit time. I've left this so long that I'll now give you until the end of the news if you want to phone in. 01419511025.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Roger Hannah are here. It's 01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. If you're just joining us, we've been having a good go at transfer speculation. Should Celtic let Lagerbielka go on loan? Should Rangers part ways with Ridvan Yilmaz? What else is going to happen? If you want to add your thoughts, you can do. But I'm hoping we're going to be busy in this second hour, because I told you at the start of the show we're going to do the first of our Clyde One Super Scoreboard Half Season Awards. So catchy. As we worked all day on the title. We're going to do a different category every night this week, since it's the winter break. Of course, I think we'll probably build up to sort of player of the season so far. But for tonight, a bit more specific, who is your signing of the season and why? Get your answers in. We'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
I should say, some really good suggestions coming in on Twitter for this, but it'd be nice to hear some on the phone. So do that right now. Who is your signing of the season and why? And come on, fans of all teams, I know the way this works. Don't sit back and let Rangers fans and Celtic fans dominate this. If you want to put a Kilmarnock player forward, or a Hearts player, or a St Mirren player, or whatever, let's hear it. Who's the signing of the season so far? Whose name would you like to throw in there? Marcus is in Tollcross. How are you, Marcus?
Not bad. How are yourself?
Not bad in here. Now, usually it's a sort of debutante on Beat the Pundit, but I think you've played before, is that right?
Aye, a few years ago.
And how did
Derek
it go?
And Hugh that were on. I think I beat Derek.
All right, okay, well, that's fine. That's at least you've got a victory on the board. We'll see who you take on tonight. You're in good company, I have to say. Roger Hanna still in negotiations to see if we go down to -2. Up to -2? Down to -2?
Oh, you need to down to -2.
Down. Yeah. Or Kenny Miller, who's in good form as well. Heads, it will be Kenny. Tails, Roger. And it is. Have you played since Christopher from Ayrshire embarrassed you live in front of the nation?
No. Chris, with his sidekick here.
What's the sidekick?
Kenny Keegan.
Well, listen, I hope the pressure hasn't got to you after that. That could be the sliding doors moment your Beat the Pundit career.
That was so last year.
Those dives. Sorry about that, Marcus, but you'll have to play Roger.
Good
so
luck,
we'll
Marcus.
Give him some greatest.
That's all good.
Give him some greatest hits radio, and that way he won't hear us. Marcus, 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. And pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Right, no worries.
Top man, right, your 30 seconds starts now. John McLaughlin joined Rangers from which club?
Sunderland.
Who was the last club Jack Ross managed?
Sunderland.
Which Queen of the South legend did his testimonial at the weekend?
Stephen Dobby.
Who's got more minutes for Celtic in the league this season, Joe Hart or Callum McGregor?
Joe Hart.
Lowland League top scorer Mackenzie Kirk joined which side last week?
Hearts.
Kevin Van Veen currently plays for which Dutch club?
Groningen.
Okay, let's bring in Roger. Can you hear us?
Yeah, got you, mate.
Same set of questions to you. You ready?
Yeah.
Your time starts now. John McLaughlin joined Rangers from which club?
Sunderland.
Who was the last club that Jack Ross managed?
Dundee United.
Which Queen of the South legend had his testimonial match at the weekend? Who's got more minutes for Celtic in the league this season, Joe Hart or Callum McGregor?
Joe Hart.
Lowland League top scorer Mackenzie Kirk joined which side last week?
Hamilton.
Kevin Van Veen currently plays for which Dutch club?
Groningen.
Name any Hibs player that's been called up for the AFCON.
Jojo Wallacott.
Marcus, have you done enough?
I don't think so.
No, Marcus, do you know what? See, even if you've not, I think this could be the night that pushes him on to -2, because I thought you were good. Marcus was good. You could tell he was confident. If you've beaten Marcus, I think this is it for me.
The only one that I know that I got wrong was the Mackenzie Cup one. The other one, the Jack Ross one. I knew for a fact it was me Sunderland. That was just a hazard.
I know. Right, let's go through them.
After the first guess,
I know that was it. John McLaughlin joined Rangers from Sunderland, and you both got it. So Roger's still one behind due to his handicap. Marcus, you and I both know that even in our disorganised state in here, we wouldn't really have Sunderland as the answer to the first two questions. But maybe we could, as a bit of a psychological test going forward. Jack Ross's last club was Dundee United, not Sunderland. Roger Poole's level. Stephen Dobie testimonial match at the weekend, in case you hadn't heard. Kenny Miller scored a hat-trick, blah blah blah.
2-2.
Still level.
I was hoping one of them were the questions. I knew that Kenny had scored the hat-trick.
Exactly. Who's got more minutes for Celtic in the league this season, Joe Hart or Callum McGregor? You both went Joe Hart. It's Callum McGregor.
Joe Hart was sent off, wasn't he? Missed the game.
As soon as I said Joe Hart, I knew it was.
I'm with you, Marcus.
Sent off at Livy. And then suspended. So yes, it is Callum McGregor. So we're still level. Lowland League top scorer Mackenzie Kirk joined which side? This is how I know that Marcus is good, right? Because he got it wrong, but he still said Hearts. There's like a, there is Mackenzie Kirk knowledge in there from Marcus. But that's his parent club. He's gone to Hamilton, good which player. Roger goes son of
Andy.
I knew there was a Hearts in there.
No, see, that's how you
I
know your stuff.
Andy Kirk.
Well, that's his dad.
Hearts at one point.
That's his dad. So there we go. And Kevin Van Veen plays for Groningen. Marcus got that as well. Marcus is decent, but unfortunately he's up against an absolute anorak, someone who must get out more in 2024, Rocky Bashiri or Jojo Wallacott. Of the Hibs players going to AFCON, he's taking it by two, Marcus. Hard lines.
You've got to take it for the best, haven't you?
Ultimately that's it. That's it. I mean, did you even...
The man knows his stuff.
He does, Marcus. Hard lines, Marcus. You can call back any time.
Aye, thanks a lot for the time.
Good, Marcus. Marcus is good, eh?
Yep.
Marcus was good, absolutely. I must admit. Jojo Wallacott, who is he representing?
Ghana.
Rocky Bashiri.
DR Congo.
Honestly. Well, you look, you did get Callum McGregor wrong, so...
Who are the other two Scottish-based players going?
To AFCON.
Sima.
It's Sima.
Yeah, Senegal.
And one of your boys, isn't it? Absolutely. Air United's
Frankie Masonda.
Frankie Masonda.
Zambia with Fashion Sakala.
Obviously.
He's mate.
See, well, there's nothing we don't know in this show. He almost said with a straight face. 01419511025. That is the number you need. And we're about to move on to your signing of the season. This is a major night in the calendar. We've just invented it this afternoon because we thought it might be quiet. That's the truth. But there we go. Who is your signing of the season so far? Brilliant responses on Twitter to this, loads. So why not give us a call though? Give us your suggestion on air, and that way we can discuss it with you and we can see who it is. I mean, I know the way the top flight and the top of the top flight will work. I'm sure Rangers fans might want to mention a certain goalkeeper. Celtic fans, obviously most of your good players were in the building, but Lewis Palmer's come in and been very productive in a scoring and assisting sense. There are great ones down the division as well. I know that Hearts fans have got some favourites, and I know he's left, but Dundee fans might have won to bring us. Kilmarnock fans, you did some smart recruitment, did you not? So who is your signing of the season so far? 01419511025. That is the number you need. So give us a call right now. And do you know what? Let's spread the love a bit. Let's not just do the obvious. Let's not look at Glasgow's big two. Like I said earlier, if you're a Killie fan, a St Mirren fan, whatever, maybe even a fan of a Championship club, and you want to get some praise for your recruitment, let's do it on here, on that usual number. If you'd rather tweet, then fine. But come on, I think it's one that we can discuss on the phones. A quick look at social media tells me as well. I remember I told you just before the break, I had a bit of a Gordon DL sort of like, how do you get through a day moment when I left my child's pram at Silverburn. Billy tweeted in straight away to say, I actually saw that pram last week in the car park and thought someone had left their wane. He says, I'm not that daft, Billy. I draw the line at leaving small humans, but yeah, has to be.
And fair play to the person that handed it in.
Well, that was it. It clearly just shows you that I didn't leave anything expensive in the wee sort of tray, or whatever you call that, because that could have been a whole different conversation, I must say. But anyway, 0141.
Gordon DL had found the pram. What do you think he'd have done with
it? Sold it straight on eBay.
Got a new golf bag.
He was dabbling on eBay quite a lot, actually, towards the end of last year. That became like a real hobby of his.
No way. Buying, selling, bit of both?
I think a bit of both. But buying, I think, yeah, cheap golf gear, that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he's back tomorrow if you're interested. Usual number, get your thoughts in. Signing of the season so far. So many tweets, right? So many. And it looks like I'm going to have to start on a tweet. I would rather have started on a call, but I can see some coming in at the moment. Oh, I don't know. That's not a sign. I'm not going to ruin it, but that's not a signing that the person's on the phone in at the moment. Where is my tweet sheet? Even printed off some, so I didn't have to go scampering through them all whilst we were on air, because we set this up earlier on just to give you a bit of time to get your tweets in. And I would say the most popular, GGH says it, Derek given us the name Richard Jack Butland. Richard says by a country mile and twice on a Sunday. Would you have any grumbles? I thought he might be mentioned.
Nah, he's been the standout signing, and not just for his performances and his abilities, what he's kind of the influence he's got on the team. There's no doubt, and I know it's the obvious one. It's in one of the big two, but I think when the end of season awards do come out for real, I think his name will be mentioned as well. You know, I think he's been an outstanding signing, and also on the building for what I hear as well. A top guy, really, really good in that dressing room, respected figure. Yep, for me, and his performances again speak for themselves. For me, he has been the standout signing.
Yeah, and a lot of the focus in Rangers' summer signings has been how poor some of them have been. Sam Lammers, Cyril Dessers, etc., etc. Butland's been outstanding with Abdelassima, I think, getting a notable mention.
Absolutely.
What in particular is it that's impressed you? Let's get really specific.
About Jack Butland.
But
listen, I think it, you know, see when you talk about the goalkeepers for Rangers or Celtic, you're talking about like making the big saves in the big moments. I don't think I've seen that moment yet for Jack Butland. He's just done it all. He's made everything look really, really easy. By the way, he has done some really, really good saves. But these big, massive moments, I mean, you think Alan McGregor's time at Rangers, you could reel off four, five, six really, really big moments for Old Firm games, for like to European nights. I don't think we've had that real moment, but I just think he's been so consistent in everything that he's done. I can't actually think him really of putting a foot wrong. But again, I'll go even further. I think his influence on that back line, having a goalkeeper of that ability and that you can rely on, I just think it's a calming influence on them. Not just the back line, actually the team. And I think he's a real leader and a big character within that dressing room. So again, that's a really, really big signing in relation to how he's actually improving and helping people off the field as well. So it's for me, it's an easy one because he's in the city and he's playing for one of the big two. But there is other guys there I would mention as well that I think definitely deserve.
Let's see if any callers give some other mentions out there. Jack is a young man, much younger than you two, and he's on the line. How's it going, Jack?
Hi guys, nice to speak to you.
And
hi,
you, Jack. Hi, Jack. Who's the signing of the season so far?
I'm going to go with Jack Butland because he's saved some really important games for Rangers this season.
Did you sort of worry, Jack? You know, Rangers have had good goalkeepers and Alan McGregor when he left, wondering how you fill that. I take it you think Jack Butland's done it?
Oh yeah, he's filled his boots and saved us massively. And no disrespect to John McLaughlin, but I think Jack Butland's a really big step up from.
Well, that's the thing, Roger. A lot of the summer discussion before we knew about Jack Butland was because we knew Alan McGregor this day was coming. In fact, we thought it was going to be the season before. And people were saying, well, maybe Robbie McCrory could be Rangers number one. And where does this leave John McLaughlin? And clearly, the Rangers have gone and made a sort of much bigger statement there. And it's worked so far.
Yeah, listen, Robbie McCrory's a good young goalkeeper. He'll probably go on to have a good career. At the minute, he's not even in the same ballpark as Jack Butland. It takes me back to the start of last season and that nonsense under Giovanni Van Bronckhorst when he put John McLaughlin in as his first choice goalkeeper. Again, not in the same ballpark as Jack Butland. Jack Butland, for want of a better expression, is a proper goalkeeper. We don't need to go back to his early weeks. I'll take you back as far as last Tuesday. Think of the save from Kyle Vassell at 0-0 at home to Kilmarnock just a few minutes before McCausland and Seymour scored the opening two goals before half time. He has come in, he has filled Alan McGregor's boots, gloves, whatever, and has maintained and enhanced the level behind that Rangers back four. And Kenny will tell you the difference for a defence when they've got somebody behind them they have 100% trust in, as Rangers have with Jack Butland.
Did Kenny sum it up in the sense that we're not talking loads of like amazing saves the way perhaps Alan McGregor would do, but then sometimes the best compliment you can pay a goalkeeper is you can't imagine him making a mistake, and he might, and somebody else phone here and say, ah, you said he'd never make a mistake.
I know what you mean,
but you just can't really imagine it. It doesn't, what's that phrase, everybody says, ah, he's got a mistake in him. I can't imagine a Scottish football fan, even a rival fan or whatever, saying that at the moment.
I'd actually love to get a chance to get a sit down and a chat with Jack Butland, because very early in his career it looked as if he was going to be really, really top notch. 9 caps for England as a very young man, great career ahead of him, and then somewhere it all seemed to get a little bit wrong. He went to Palace, couldn't get into the team at Palace. They loaned him to Manchester United, couldn't get into the team at Manchester United. And then I think he's taken a decision in his career last summer to go and sign a pre-contract and sign a deal with a club where he knew he was going to be the number one. I think he knew at this stage in his career, age 30, he needs to go and play games and remind people just exactly how good he can be. And I know, you know, avid colleagues from The Sun in London coming on to me to say, how good has he been? Because at a time when Nick Pope's injured, Sam Johnson's injured, Aaron Ramsdale can't get into the Arsenal team, they think there could be vacancies in the England squad for the Euros as second and third goalkeeper behind Jordan Pickford.
Jack, any other Rangers signings come close, or is he the signing of the season by a mile?
I know this is going to sound stupid, but Danny Ebel and Dessers, because they've both scored goals and quite important goals to keep us in the title race. So I'm going to say them two, but I know people are going to laugh at Dessers.
See, Jack, that's that self-awareness, great self-awareness for a man so young. I don't think we will get many who agree with Jack, but he knows that, which is fine.
No,
you're not having Dessers as your signing of the season. Is that what you're telling me?
Definitely not. No, it's and again, it's like when you make the point again. I don't know what important goals that have been scored as well. That's not to keep you in the league, though. You know, sorry.
Yeah, we'll throw it all in there.
Jack, listen, that was a big goal. There's no doubt about it. But in relation to the signings of the season, I think there's again, Seymour would get a better mention ahead of any of these lads.
That's a good shout.
He's still a young player coming. He's sitting with 15 goals this season. He's going to be well on the way to 25 goals. So he'll, I think he probably could be in the conversation.
Because where would you be without Butland saves might be the same as where would Rangers be without Seymour's goals.
Yep.
I noticed a tweet from Pye and Bovril today, Roger, unrelated, but talking about the goalkeeper save percentage of each club, which, like any stat, it's not everything, but it's a fairly decent one, because obviously some clubs face more shots than others. Maybe doesn't take into account the difficulty of the saves, but anyway, Jack Butler on top, which won't surprise you, 79.2% if you're keeping count. So making the saves when they're there to be made, ultimately.
Yeah, and listen, he's done well. You don't have many Rangers fans, you know, young Jack's come on to commend him. We haven't had a Rangers fan this season saying Rangers should put Jack Butland out the team. We've had quite a few Celtic fans on the phone this season and last looking for an upgrade on Joe Hart. So it tells you how good Jack Butland has been.
Thank you, Jack. 01419511025. Give us a call. Do you agree or do you disagree? Who has been your signing of the season so far? Give us a call right now, please.
The fastest goals, the experts' opinions. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Roger Hanna are here, and they are asking you politely to give us your signing of the season so far. It's the first of our Clyde One Super Scoreboard, what did they call it, winter break of season so far.
Half season awards.
That was it. Jack Butland is the early leader, according to Twitter and the phone call we've had. But maybe you want to throw another name in there, or throw your support further behind the Jack Butland cause. 01419511025. Some good names coming in on Twitter as well. Let's try and do them on the phones if we can. Let me give you this question first.
The full-time teaser with Sliding Wardrobe Solutions East Kilbride. Slat wall panels available in 7 colours. Now in stock at East Kilbride at competitive prices.
Thank you to Derek for sending this question in. I won't dwell on it too long. You can give your answers between now and the end of the show. So just have a wee think. For each team currently in the Scottish Premiership, who's taken the most penalties for that team since the 98-99 season? Top flight we're talking. So since the 98-99 season, so what's that, kind of SPL era into Premiership era, yeah? Can you name the player for each current Premiership team who's taken the most penalties for that club in the top flight?
Tavernier.
Oh, nice easy one to get.
Before Roger jumps in ahead of me.
By a mile, the most on the list, but there we go. He's been there for a while now and a consistent penalty taker. That type of thing. We'll get back to the question. We'll try and do it for every team that's currently in the top flight. Michael's a Celtic fan. Michael, we're looking for the signing of the season. Can you give it to a Celtic player? Have they done enough?
I've got three names for you guys, Kenny, Roger and Gordon. I've got Scales as well.
Come on, not a new signing. We are harsh on here. You're going to tell me he's been licking you signing, aren't you?
Aye, been licking you signing. Farmer and Ronaldo as well. I've been really impressed with they two. But
Palmer,
if he's assists, with assists, and his vital goals for their penalty spot when he takes them, when they don't miss penalties.
Well, that's true. There have been issues from the spot. Roger, assess Luis Palmer as a contender for this prestigious award.
He's done well. I think his numbers, as you say nowadays, have been good in terms of assists. His set piece delivery has been good. I'll be fascinated to see where he stands in the pecking order now. Both Maeda and Abada are back and fit. When Celtic kick off again with the Scottish Cup tie against Bucky Thistle a week in Sunday, who it is that starts. But yeah, listen, he's done well. In terms of Celtic signings, he's probably been the pick for me.
I agree. I think I was actually racking my brain when we're talking about signings to think what new signings for Celtic actually start games. Mm-hmm. If for Celtic, so and Palma is the one. You know, if you go through their team, he's the one. Bernardo obviously has came in over the last four games. That's why I think he's been really, really good in the last kind of four or five games, Bernardo. But is that enough to be in this type of conversation? Probably not. But Palma, absolutely. I think his assists, his goals, in terms of replacement for Jota, he's no Jota. But he's got. I think he's a different type of player. But his numbers are equally as good.
Yeah, I mean, enough to come into the signing of the season category overall, or just Celtic signing of the season.
Certainly, Celtic signing of the season. If you're widening it out, it must be in the conversation of, you know, if you're looking for four or five.
Would he be the winner?
No.
Jack Butlin for you.
I think he's always, but I think there is also other players in the league that I would definitely put in there, mm-hmm. in that conversation right up there with Palmer.
Does part of this obviously come from, you know, when you're, I'm not saying Celtic's recruitment can't have been better, of course it could, I mean we've spoken about it for months now, but when you go from a position of strength, it's not as, like Rangers needed a new goalkeeper, and they needed their new goalkeeper to be good. Celtic have, you know, I think based on what we've discussed this season, Celtic find themselves in a spot where it's maybe quite difficult for new signings to come in and be kind of nailed on and be better than what was already there. That's not to say you can't do it. You should obviously always try and do it.
Because they're all projects gone.
Yeah. I think with Palmer though, because that was a position that probably did need to be addressed when Jota left. It took him a little bit of time to kind of nail that slot down, but since he has, like, I think he's seven goals. He's up there with the assists as well. And his performances are actually really good. He just gives them something different on that side of the pitch than what Maeda does. You know, Maeda with his pace and his power and his movement. What Palmer brings is that technical ability, that vision of a pass, the creativity, whilst obviously still remaining a goal threat.
It's definitely too early, Michael, for us to include Paolo Bernardo, I think. But if I was to do this award, you know, end the season, do you think he's on that type of trajectory?
He could be, Gordon. I think as I said to your producer earlier, I've been really impressed with him, as the guy said, Kenny and Roger said, the last couple of weeks. He's chipped in with some good goals. He's looking decent. So him and O'Reilly could be up there this season, I think. And hopefully push McGregor further forward, to be honest. I think we need to push McGregor a bit further forward. He's a better player than forward McGregor.
I must admit, I'm quite desperate for topics and categories. Not desperate enough to go who's been the player of the last 3 weeks. But if we did, would Paolo Bernardo be, you know, have you been impressed, surprised? What's the word with that late emergence?
I think he's just found the right fit in the team. You know, it takes a little bit of time to come to grips with a new club and maybe a new way of playing. But I think he's, there's no doubt he's been a really, really good, he's a good technical player. He can get on the ball, he can keep things moving and keep things ticking over. Celtic needed more than that. They've got Callum McGregor that does that really well. They needed someone like Matt O'Reilly. You know what Matt O'Reilly's been doing, needed someone in there playing in that number eight role to be giving you that same kind of threat. And I think over these last four or five games he's got his goals. His pass for Greg Taylor was absolutely outstanding. So that shows a real ability and creativity. Firstly to see it, but then to actually execute it. It was an excellent pass. So it's, he's definitely came in it. And again, moving forward, he'll be the guy if Fatati does move. Or if Atati is still injured, he'll be the guy that had that slot, which it had been Awata, had been Turnbull. Mm-hmm. Bernardo's going to be the third guy in that midfield alongside O'Reilly and McGregor.
Thank you, Michael. Right, so we've added Luis Palma to Jack Butland in terms of our conversation. It doesn't have to be top flight. Craig's a Falkirk fan. You're bound to tell me that somebody's tearing up League One, Craig.
I've actually got two names in like the short list.
Right.
Calvin Miller and Brad Spencer.
Two good shouts, Roger Hannah. We don't discriminate.
Yeah, David Friel was there division. At Falkirk on Saturday for Super Scoreboard. He saw them create history. Is it 24 games unbeaten now, I think? Beating the record of Jim Jeffrey's side for the 90s. They are...
Hopefully 25 tomorrow.
Yeah. Cove Rangers tomorrow. Paul Hartley coming back to Falkirk. You could go... Oh,
he'll get a good reception, though,
eh? Oh, I would imagine. No, yeah. And David spoke to Calvin Miller after the game. He's done extremely well since he's come back up the road. He had a wee spell at Morton. He's now at Falkirk. He looks to be enjoying his football again.
He's too good for League One, so he's Brad Spencer.
I have a feeling. Here's a random stat that will enhance my anorak status in here. I think it's Calvin Miller's birthday tomorrow.
I would have let you away with today, but tomorrow, then you're right. That is only you.
Phone in, Calvin.
Craig, what's this I was hearing about anti-football Bartley and his defensive ways at the weekend? Just parking the bus, was he?
Yeah, he does that. Every time we play Queens, like down at Palmerston, down at Saxham, Kenny will know himself.
He's part of the dodgem.
He says he's coming on the show this week, so only have a wee... A word
it's
with them.
As well, like, obviously, like, the goalkeeper had nothing to do on Saturday because they're starting to stand
with her. Hold on, there's been a steward's inquiry. I'm getting information in my ear, Craig. Did you actually say that it was Calvin Miller's birthday tomorrow?
I think that was mentioned. Somebody told me that at the week. Is it?
No, but did you say that before Roger did?
No.
All right. Some producer telling me that he said it first and you stole it clean off him. I don't know what's happening. No. They're like backseat drivers in there.
Listen,
then, honestly,
not doing that. He's no stealing. I know, stuff.
You will need to check it's right though.
Yeah. Honestly,
I know somebody's bought it as a war as well.
How good a job Jordan Gunton, because he's got the fans right behind us. Like, it was second biggest crowd on Saturday in Scotland.
Yeah, it's a fair point, Kenny. You know the club, Kenny.
It's a well-supported club, and you know, and they deserve to be at the top of that league. They should be at the top of that league. Competing for promotion, being in that league too long. I know we talked about it last week, actually, saying, oh, too big and too good for the level and X, Y, and Z. But I think
you know yourself, Ken, how the fans go, like, home and away. And, like, every single week, it's like a home game when we go away from home as well.
Listen, they've been through the mill over the last kind of 6 or 7 years. Like I said, but you know, they do the turn up support, and they're very demanding as well, you know, because they expect their team to be right at the top of that league, and again, they should really be in the Championship minimum. So hopefully this will be the year. Like you say, John's doing a wonderful job, Craig. It's just taken, obviously last year wasn't a bad season, but a really disappointing playoff end. But this season, on fire.
Thank you very much, Craig. I don't mind that. A suggestion from another division. Right, let's go out with the big two. John has tweeted, and so have others, by the way. Gordon tweeted this earlier. I like this shout. Is it enough to oust Jack Butland? I don't know. Lewis Mayo, he's been outstanding in Killie's defence. Got him on a free from Rangers. Bet they wish they had him back. Young and Scottish, talented boy, says John. Like I say, Gordon sent us that one as well. A few people have said that. A fair shout.
He's on my list, absolutely. I think he's been superb. Like, known him for when he was a young boy, like really young boy. But then you see where his careers went. He's had loan spells. And command at the show. For the first game of the season, you know, I think Big Lewis is, he's quick, he's aggressive. He reads the game really well. I think he played midfield actually in spells as well at Rangers with the B team. Maybe even for, I think it was Partick when he went on loan, he was maybe deployed in midfield, so he can handle the ball as well. So for a modern day centre back, I think he's got all the tools, and he's actually shown it this year. Really, really strong defender. I think it suits him playing in that three alongside the lads, alongside the experience of Finlay and alongside Dees. For the most part, it's when I've seen them really good. But I just think he's got everything there really to kind of step on. He needed to make that move probably away for Rangers, you know, to start playing regular football at the top league every single week. But he's been superb, definitely on my list for signing the season.
Simon, the Killie fan that comes on, mentioned him the other week, and he said thanks very much to Michael Beale for giving him to Kilmarnock for 50 grand or whatever it was. He strikes me as one of these lads who will maybe take a step back, no disrespect to Kilmarnock, to go two steps forward. It looks as if he's one of these boys who could have a move down south in him.
And I think there's teams circling at the moment, to be honest, Roger. I've heard a few people asking about him because his performances have been...
Oh, that sounds like someone's asked him.
Ah, good, I'll speak to you about that at 8 o'clock.
We'll speak later on,
Pep got your number?
Yeah.
Who's Pep got your number?
Palmerston Pep's not even got his number.
You wonder how important a time this is. So 23, which isn't young, but it's also kind of young for a defender. You know, maybe you're looking slightly more towards the experience in that position. Derek McInnes has said a couple of times, I think, that he's quite confident he'll play for Scotland, mm-hmm. you know, at some point in the future. So he rates him that highly. And then, funny when you mentioned the back three, you might want to chuck Robbie Deas as a candidate for this award that we're talking about.
And I think three of them will be excellent. And if you're Finlay as well.
So, and the difference with him is Kilmarnock, we kind of knew, and yeah. he'd been there before. But if we're talking about all three of your back three being, you know, in the conversation we're having about signing of the season so far, so what does that say about Kilmarnock's recruitment, Roger?
When you do the night of manager who's made the best signings this season, Derek McInnes, I mentioned.
Yeah, that's not one of the categories, but if it was, you're right. But, you know, like, seriously, that says a lot about Kilmarnock's recruitment,
yeah,
doesn't
it? Listen, you can throw in the likes of Corey and Daba up the left-hand side as well. Marley Watkins, Matt Kennedy coming back to the club. I think Derek has signed well. He knows the league. He knows what's required to be successful in the league. And he's put together a really strong squad at Kilmarnock. When you go back, you know, we talk about Palmerston yesterday. Derek's first game as Kilmarnock manager was at Palmerston in the Championship only about 2 years ago. And he's transformed the place in 2 years.
Right, there we go. So you're comfortable, because I'll get people to vote and then we could announce the winner on tomorrow night's show.
Yeah.
So you can do that. So we're comfortable with Jack Butland on the list.
Yes.
Lewis Palmer.
Yeah.
We stick Lewis Mayo.
Yeah.
We'll see what else we can come up with. You can bump them off. And
the young gentleman we mentioned a couple of times in the first half, is your Owen Beck needs to be. And I know he's been and gone, Owen Beck to Dundee was a terrific piece of business for Tony Docherty.
Well, we'll try and come up with a final four then. We'll stick it on Twitter and you can vote overnight. So it looks like there's a four roughly forming there, but you can change that because it is up to you. So give us a call. Let us know who your signing of the season would be. You can either throw your weight behind someone we've mentioned or give us a new name. Do that right now if you can whilst I check in on this teaser. So since 98-99, can you name the player for each of the current Premiership teams who's taken the most penalties for each team in the top flight? So Rangers is James Tavernier.
Shanklin, no.
It's do you know what? I'm wondering when Derek sent this question in, because it's not the name he's got.
Colin Cameron?
No.
Paul Hartley?
Yes. Now here would be the thing. Lauren Shankland, that famous, what was it? He scored 15 out of 15, yeah. 15. Then he missed two.
Yeah.
Even my arithmetic tells me that's 17. Yeah. But they won't all be top flight.
No.
How many?
They'll all be for Hearts, surely. He's only played for Hearts.
A couple, though. You know, maybe.
Sorry.
So I think it's still Paul Hartley, but I'll give you Lauren Shankland, pretty close. Okay.
What about Lee Griffiths?
Four.
Celtic?
No.
Hibernian?
No.
Dundee?
Celtics is a bit more.
Larson?
Yeah, a bit more obvious. I think 16.
You mentioned him in the show earlier on. What about Mark O'Hara in St Mirren?
It is. Yeah, it is Mark O'Hara. Yep.
Boyce?
Four.
Ross County?
Just any of these clubs.
Ross County?
It is Ross County, yep. Different. Good shout. Class. Okay, one more guess. No, Melrose is an interesting one. I'm not sure of the. Like, now I know it. I'm like, yeah, okay, but.
What about St Johnson and Stephen McLean?
No.
No.
Rooney?
Actually, right, this might surprise you. Apart from James Tavernier, St Johnston's is the guy that's taken the most. Talking longevity, apparently 20 St Johnstone penalties this guy took. I'm surprised, but there we go.
So it's no Rooney then for Aberdeen, no?
It is. It is. Right, okay.
Liam Craig.
Liam Craig. We'll try and get. So you need, don't say them just now, but you need Dundee, Hibs, Killy, Livy, Motherwell. Get them next.
Aberdeen.
Scottish football's league leader. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Kenny Miller are here. They've been trying hard during that break to come up with answers to this teaser. Don't forget, we're going to go a final push. Who is your signing of the season so far? We'll come up with a shortlist and then we'll allow you to vote, or we'll ask you to vote, I should say, overnight, and we'll announce a winner tomorrow. We'll do another category tomorrow and so on. Tonight, your signing of the season so far, based on your tweets and your calls, thinking Jack Butland's definitely on there, Lewis Palmer's probably on there, Lewis Mayo on there, and we'll try and fill another. Your teaser tonight, since the 98-99 season, can you name the player for each current Premiership team who's taken the most penalties for each team in the top flight? So Aberdeen's is Adam Rooney, Celtic's is Henrik Larsson, Rangers is Tavernier, Hearts is Paul Hartley, Ross County, Liam Boyce, Liam Craig of St Johnston, Mark O'Hara of St Mirren.
Big Boydie, Kelly.
Chris from Ayrshire.
Yeah, Chris, Big Christopher, yes.
Christopher from Ayrshire, yes, absolutely.
And me and Roger wrote this one down at the same time, so I'm going to let him say it. I'll let him go.
Dundee's must be an actual novel.
It is. It's only five, apparently, but he is Dundee's taking the most penalties. So Hibs, Livy, Motherwell still to get. We will get them a bit later on, hopefully. I hope. Right, let me consult Twitter. Who have we not had yet? We need to see if anyone's getting bumped off that list. I mean, Derek says Butland's surely the clear winner. He's gone Robbie Deese, Kilmarnock, who we mentioned. Dimitar Mitov,
yeah,
St Johnston.
As the Dazzler would say, there's always a goalie.
Okay.
Dimitar Mitov of St Johnston, Zach Hemming of St Mirren, perhaps, and the killing goalie, Will Dennis, probably. I know he had a horror when Shanklin scored down at Rugby Park, but in general, I think he's been a good signing by Derek McInnes.
David, can't he mention too many goalkeepers, can we? Let's just pick one, yeah, and
maybe put
one.
Sorry if you said it there, I was multitasking. Luke said Zach Hemming's been unbelievable, yeah, for, yeah, St Mirren, won a fair amount, yeah, of, yeah, points. Unbelievable saves, would love to get him permanently. Mitov has been good though.
Very good, yeah. There has been a good selection of goalkeepers, obviously with Butland at the top of the list, and you've got the three lads that we've just mentioned. Jeez. So it is, there has been some really good goalkeeping signings in nets.
Has Mitov done enough to get on the four? Because someone you floated before the break, right? This is an imperfect award scheme, I will admit that, right? It is a half season award. It's very important, but it's not to be taken too seriously. I know he's left, but still, if, yeah, it's the signing of the season so far, is Owen Beck still eligible?
He's on my list. He would definitely be on my list, yeah, for, yeah.
Butland, Palmer.
It's a half season award. Mayo. He was here for the half season.
Yeah.
Even if he's gone. We're, yeah, comfortable with that.
Comfortable, because he might come back.
Yeah, I mean, he probably won't, but we can just like pretend that he might, because it still remains a possibility.
And if he does, he might not come back to Dundee.
I don't think he'd come back to Dundee, no offence to the good people up there. Confident he's
great,
on the four.
Great nephew of Ian Rush.
No, I didn't. I wasn't aware of that.
He is, yep.
There's only one man on this show that would know that.
I don't even care enough to check. Just take his word for it.
Yeah. He's got
definitely on there.
He's got to make the list for me, yeah.
Definitely, yeah.
How good? How impressed were you?
Oh, he's going to go a long way. He's a really, really good player. Really good. I spoke to him after a game that I did for Super Scoreboard Derby. I can't remember what game it was, Gordon. It might have been a Livingston game. And I was actually struck by how small he is. He's small, wiry, he's quick, but he is tenacious. He will run all day. And he's one of these guys who, he's just come up, he's just taking the thing by storm. He's not been intimidated at all, despite his tender years. And he's really grabbed his lone chance at Dundee with both hands. And you don't need to take my word for it. Look at the quote from Jurgen Klopp last week when he went back to Liverpool. And Klopp spoke well about the setup at Dundee, what Owen Beck had gained from it. And I think it does Dundee a lot of favours as well when they look for lone players for the second half of this season or next season.
Listen, I've got it. Again, Roger's touched on all the kind of physical things about his ability. You know, I think going forward, he's a really good ball carrier. He showed real confidence and belief in himself when he gets in the box. He's chopping inside, he's linking, he got goals. The goal he scored, I think it was against Hibs at Dens, when he showed some, no, it wasn't Hibs actually, it might have been, he showed some really good ability. It was cut back to him and it looked like he was going to shoot with his right foot, and he just let it through him onto his left foot and he passed into the goal. And no, that was, it was the goal the next week. His goal, he scored against Hibs as well, but it was a shot, came back,
yeah,
falling,
yeah,
up.
Motherwell, I think.
He scored two goals, it was Motherwell. Yeah. See, you didn't want to say that, did you? Didn't,
nah,
want to give me a bit of help there, but it was a wonderful goal, it really was.
I thought you were getting there, I thought you were going to remember.
Yeah, but anyway, I think he's got a lot. And Andy Robertson clone, you know, I, yeah, think the way he behaves, the way he moves, he's just displaying all the qualities that a good left back showing. And I think, again, it just goes to show, going on loan, and again for teams, big clubs sending younger players up to Scotland, it's a brilliant platform for them to come,
it's,
and showcase their talent.
It's the downside though, isn't it, for, and it can happen to our bigger clubs, but particularly our smaller clubs. Look, you know why you're doing it. You're going to a big club, you're getting a player that you can't afford and you can't buy, and you're looking for help in the loan market. But if they're good, it might just get, the rug gets pulled from under your feet in January. A player you know, Motherwell, had Brody Spencer. Yep. He's gone back. He was very good, not the same impact as, yep, Owen Beck. And I guess, Roger, you just have to take it in the chin.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's annoying, isn't it?
I'm sure Dundee would rather have had Owen Beck for 6 months than not at all. But it is a setback for Tony Docherty. He'll need to.
So what do you prefer if you're Dundee? Would you have preferred that he just was 10% worse and maybe not enough to get recalled, but still good enough to have had a good impact? It's a tough one. Right, so look, producers are working away. This is thousands, hundreds, millions of votes coming in. I have a look at Twitter. Obviously, a couple of calls. We'll try and come up with a four, and we will then. Oh, do you know what though? Do you know what's had a lot of mentions on Twitter? None on the show yet that might be in because it's democracy. Frankie Kent.
Yeah,
a lot of Hearts fans are liking that.
Not for me.
I don't think he breaches that list for me.
Right, we'll do a combination of both. So for us on here, definitely Butland.
Yep. Beck.
Mayo.
Palmer.
Yeah, you're comfortable with that?
The man spoke, yeah.
Right, okay. That's what we'll do, a combination. What, you know, like some of those game shows, it's like part public vote and part judges' discretion. I don't know which ones, but I'm led to believe we could do it that way. Yeah, we could do it that way. Right, okay. Oof, that's very loud to my ear. I think that's our cue to go. But very quickly, which Hibs, Livy and Motherwell players have taken the most penalties for that team in the top flight since 98-99?
Reardon?
Yes, it is, of Hibs, 14.
John Sutton?
No, Motherwell's is a cracker. It really is.
Michael Higden?
No. It's not one of the famous goal scorers.
Ooh.
He probably took some for Inverness as well, if that helps you.
Foran.
Richie Foran.
He was an answer on another question as well.
Was
by
it?
Yep.
Livy's.
David Fernandez.
Nope. It's in the James Tavern near Mark O'Hara mould of it's a current player.
Shinny.
Pittman.
No, none of those two. He's only taken seven.
Bruce Anderson.
Easiest clue of all time. He stuck one past his brother this season.
Oh, Kelly.
Oh, Sean Kelly.
Sean Kelly. Thank you to Roger and Kenny. Get on there, vote for your signing of the season on our Twitter feed at ClydeSSB. We'll do another category tomorrow when we'll be joined by two absolute students of the game in Gordon DL and Hugh Keevan. So they'll have some good suggestions for us. In the meantime, just stay right there. Callum Gallagher's back and he is up next.